Hey, church, it's so great to be with you today. We're so excited about this brand new series called Summer Book Club. I knew if we were going to do this, I had to start with my dear friends, Pastor Ed and Lisa Young, because what they have gone through is a pain that nobody wants. They're a part of a club nobody wants to join, but I just want them to share their story of how they got through pain and how they're continuing to get through the pain. Because I know all of us have difficulties in our lives. And so Pastor Ed and Lisa lead an amazing church. Fellowship Church has been just a blessing to our church for so long. I can't put into words. I mean, when we started showing up to the conference, it was literally over 20 years ago. And I think our church was running about 300 people at the time. And we had a chance to meet, and it was just a divine moment that you said, hey, why don't you come to one of our staff meetings? I couldn't believe it. You know, I thought the Protestant Pope just invited me to staff meeting. I'm going. And so, but it was a huge honor. It really was. And I've learned so much from you guys for so long, you know, and Pastor Ed, Lisa, you guys have been mentors for a long time. And then in the last probably decade, I feel like it's almost like you're an older brother to me, you know, and we call and talk and exchange stories and show each other's wounds, you know, from ministry, right? Yeah. So we have all that. But you guys are such a blessing. Your church is incredible and your influence is even larger than the church. And so thank you for all that you do and the blessing that you guys too, for Jessica and I both.
Oh, thank you guys for your friendship.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys. We learned
from you guys, Bill. Oh, come on. Bill is an idea's best friend. You really are, Bill.
Well, you're so kind. Great. Thank you guys for this time. And I also know that as we talk about this book, this incredible book, A Path Through Pain, I've been reading it and I've been highlighting it like crazy. And I have to keep stopping and thinking about my own life. You know what I mean? Like it keeps stopping me. This is one of those books that you don't read, it reads you.
Wow.
And I have found myself stopping going, oh, let me think about that. Where, like you, like there's, at one point you have a, you take a pain inventory. Yes. And I was like, well, let me take a pain inventory. Mm-hmm. You know, where have I been hurt? And maybe I'm not giving myself grace to realize I've got more wounds than I'm recognizing. So there's just so much in here, but let me just jump in with this. I'm going to ask you to do something that's not easy. I'm going to ask you to share the story of Lee Beth, and how she died, what that has done to you. We're going to unpack that, but I just want people to understand that when we talk about pain, you guys have a PhD in pain and having to learn to walk through it. So could you just take us back to Lee Beth and her story?
Lee Beth is our oldest, Bill, and she was an amazing young lady, very, very strong, but she had a unique combination of gifts, which you have. It's just rare to have the combination of leadership and creativity. Mm. You just don't find that very much. Mm. And she had that. And of course, with leadership comes discernment. So, you know, she grew up in the church, and Lisa will fill in the story. She became a believer at a young age, was like, you know, just a great, great woman of God. And after several relationships, one in particular that went south.
Yeah.
She started binge drinking. In other words, drinking in private.
Yeah.
To all the way to passing out, you know. And we discovered it. It never really affected her work until the final days. She was one of our staff members, was really just a you know, superstar on the staff in many different ways. So she actually passed away, Bill, in our home. We could tell she had been drinking. Lisa's going to fill in the details. So I went to her house and then picked her up, tried to sober her up, took her to her therapist, and then we took her home. And then Lisa happened to be in South Carolina taking care of her mom, who was in her 90s at the time. So it was Lee Beth and I in the house. And I just made a bed for her to, again, she was kind of coming out of she mixed Adderall with alcohol. So coming down off this high, she was sobering up, made a bed for her and I said, Lee Beth, just stay right here and I'll be in my office studying, because I was studying for, you know, for another sermon.
Next message.
And I was doing a message on Abraham and Isaac. We're preaching actually through the Bible. So it was around 10 o'clock at night. I was just writing and everything. And right before I left her, I just kissed her and said, Beth, I'll be right here if you need me. So I began studying, and I wrote these words. I wrote, and he put him on the altar. And after I wrote that, put him on the altar, boom, I heard a noise. I've never heard a noise like it. Lee Beth. Nothing. I ran into the room. Bill, and in essence, she was dead. She had a faint, when I say heartbeat, you couldn't feel the pulse. And the ambulance came in, the EMTs, and then we took her to the hospital, but she was gone. And that's kind of the quick cliff notes, the outline of it. I still can't believe it happened. Even talking to you now, Bill, as close as we are.
It's so crazy.
It's just surreal. And
yeah.
I always had these thoughts as a father. Oh, man, what if something terrible happened? I mean, would I freak out? Would I turn my back on the faith?
Sure, sure.
And when it happens, it's just, God has really surrounded us with his grace and mercy like never, ever, ever before. So I say we run on two parallel tracks, and we've been doing this for the years after Lee's death, the track of doubt, anger, remorse.
Yeah.
And then the other track is that of joy unspeakable.
I mean,
that's just hearing it
is hard to hear.
But Lisa can even.
Well, Lisa, you had to have gotten a phone call. Mm-hmm. And this is the worst phone call of your
life. So I had really literally just landed in South Carolina, and my sister and I were transitioning my mother to a memory care facility. So I had landed, gone to my mom's house, and I think I surprised her actually. And she knew my sister and I. It wasn't like she was full on without memory. She was just in the beginning stages of dementia. Gotcha. And so my phone rang, and it was a pocket call from Lee Beth. And I tried to call her back and no answer. And then one of our other daughters, Landra, called me and she said, Mom, I just got a pocket call from Lee Beth. And I tried to call her back and she didn't answer. So I knew that she was in dire need at that time. The months prior, Lee Beth had gone to rehab at one point in South Texas, and she came back. She was full on wanting to live life to the fullest, and she wanted to be healed. She wanted to be whole. But I would say in October of the year before she passed away in January, which was 2020, was that October, yeah. Her birthday, the holidays coming up, and she struggled with anxiety and depression early on in her life, like in high school, college. Mm-hmm. She was very much of a high achiever, firstborn, yeah. National Honor Society. But with that came this pressure that she put on herself. And then when these relationships went south, we believe that's when she started self-medicating.
And on top of that, her sisters were married, mm-hmm. having
her brother.
Kids. Her brother got married.
Not easy to watch.
No.
Yeah. And they're all younger than her. Yeah. So it just was like,
so in her mind, what's wrong with me?
Yes.
Why am I not already married?
Yes.
Which is a very common thing for young people to feel.
Very much. Yeah. And so that was kind of when we noticed some differences in her, that the successes that she had was experiencing post-rehab, we were seeing some things that did not make sense. So it was January of 2021. And as I said, I got those calls and called Ed, and he went over there. And just as he said, we thought everything was going well. In fact, we FaceTimed, I FaceTimed him from, because I was thinking, okay, do I need to get a flight home? How quick do I need to get there? And he was like, no, I think we've got everything under control. But she was very nervous and she was shaky, which is normal when you've mixed alcohol and Adderall. And I FaceTimed with her and I said, honey, you realize that this lifestyle, this pattern will take your life. Do you want to live? Her answer was, I want to live, Mom. I'm just not sure how.
But she was enthusiastic, saying she wanted to live. It wasn't like I want to live. Yeah. I remember.
Mom, I want to live, but I'm just not sure how.
Yeah,
I mean, Jess and I kind of watched Lee Beth grow up.
Yes,
you know,
in
his church, and I mean, I think I had received an email literally maybe 3 or 4 days before from her with C3 Global stuff we were doing, and so it's just, you know, what in the world? Mm-hmm. And so I just have to ask. I mean, I have kids. I have a granddaughter. Yeah. It's my worst nightmare. I can't even imagine, you know, living through this.
Yes.
I have to ask this question because there's so many people who are hurting from loss, from great loss, or from something that they couldn't control, that they were like, I had no power in this happening to me. And I'm just going to go right at it because it's a hard question.
Yes.
But I wanted to just ask you how, I feel like I know you've handled it so well in the book. How do you reconcile a God who loves me with great loss?
Yeah, that's
that's the big question, isn't it? That's the number one question everyone asks.
That is.
And I would say Ed and I have answered this question to many people, and you will do a beautiful job with that. But the being in ministry, and I became a Christ follower as a child, never really went through a time of rebellion, have been faithful. Not, of course, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace, so not perfectly, but I just, you know, loved the Lord. Yeah. Read the Bible, journaled. He did the same. We had lived this life of integrity and honoring God, and then 30 some odd years in ministry, and it's just like, really, God?
Yeah, I'm like,
yeah. And that sounds like He owes us something, which He doesn't. He's God, but you almost, in our humanity, we do. We're just like, seriously, God?
And then I think too, Bill, I would say too, and part of this answer is, I still struggle sometimes, and so does Lisa, with swimming in that lap pool of regret.
Yeah, sure.
I should have done this as a father, or maybe I should have taken her directly to the hospital. I mean, all of those scenarios that you go through. What I've discovered through this is, you know, the Bible is a book of promises. God does not sit down and explain the what's and the why's and the how's behind His every decision. He gives us enough, obviously, but we have to trust Him. And I don't say that flippantly or just kind of off the cuff. And you got to realize too, I mean, the worst thing happened to the best person, Jesus, on the cross.
Wow.
And the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust.
Yeah.
We live in a broken, battered, sinful world, and bad things will happen. But Lisa and I both are a living testimony, Bill, that God is faithful and God will take you through, all of those who are watching this, no matter what you're going through, if you trust Him. It doesn't mean you can't be angry with Him. It doesn't mean you don't go, why? This is...
Yeah.
God can take it.
Yeah.
Many times when you have a death in the family, a child, I think 80% of the marriages don't make it, something like that.
Yeah.
Which when that happened, I was thinking, okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna work on this.
We're gonna work on this.
Make this a double tragedy.
That's right.
You know, it's funny you said it because Lisa, you said in the book, and I was almost in tears reading it, that you literally, for the first few nights after Lee Beth, you fell asleep holding each other.
Yep, we did.
And you said it made you closer.
Yes.
Which, you know, so many people with this tragedy shake their fist at God, you know, say, forget you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they turn on each other and everything just unravels. You've done the exact opposite, which leads me to my next question. It's real simple because I love how you put it. You said, whenever we have pain, we also have a choice. What made you choose the choice you did? Because, again, you have a choice. Forget God. Forget the church. I'm done with this. Or embrace God, embrace the church, embrace each other. And you guys made that choice. What led you to that?
Lisa relates it to finances. It's as if, well, it's not as if, this is true. Once you become a believer, you have that walk with Jesus. And every day We have community and fellowship with him. We're making deposits.
Yeah.
So it was just through basic mm-hmm. things. We're talking about mm-hmm. elementary things of reading God's word, just journaling and saying, what does this verse need to mean? Yeah. And it wasn't every day. I mean, we had four little kids growing up. I mean, there were many times where my journal went and skipped a couple of days or but attending church that weekly and being involved in the youth program growing up. And then
it's the importance, Bill, of that spiritual muscle memory of that daily prayer, fellowship with God, that weekly time where we stop working and start worshiping together as a family. So we're making deposits, deposits, deposits. So then when a crisis situation hits, you can tap into that. You have enough bank to withdraw, and that's one of the ways.
Because we were depleted.
Yeah, we were totally.
We were depleted spiritually.
And I would say, too, with our marriage, here's what happens normally. Crisis situation happens. Let's say you lose a child, okay? You get close very quickly. Then you drift apart because each one grieves differently.
Gotcha.
And you have to respect that, honor that. That's where I think Christian therapy, Christian counseling is so, so important. And being even more intentional about having those date nights, having those times where you talk and deal with it. Also, leaning in to Christian friends, like go back to the church. I mean, there's nothing like the local church. Bill, if we didn't have the church, forget me being a pastor. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
If we didn't have our friends we'd met at church and the ministry, we would not be here today. No doubt. I mean, obviously, we know the Lord, but I'm saying the walk we have had and what God has put in our lives, no.
Because when this hits and it's just, you're going through all of these emotions, I mean, it's surreal. And I will tell you that this is, we're talking about the loss of a child, the death of a child. I don't like to say lost because I know where she is. Yes. She's found. But whether it's a cancer diagnosis, the loss of a job, some catastrophic car accident, or I don't know, just any type of pain that you might be experiencing, these same things happen. Because like, think about a cancer diagnosis. You cling to one another because you want to support that spouse. You want to be there for them. But then eventually, you have to work harder and harder at understanding where they are in their pain. And Ed and I had to learn communication skills that, believe it or not, Lebeth passed away. We were married 39 years at the time. Well, you'd think we kind of had that whole communication thing down. We had to learn how to let ourselves be vulnerable and say, I'm not doing good today. And how, especially for women, sometimes I think he's just supposed to know that. I needed to communicate that to him, or he needed to communicate that to me. And so that was so helpful in how we navigated
this. This is, you're now loving a new Lisa.
Yes.
That has a new situation, new life chapter, right? Whether we like a chapter or not, it's a new chapter.
In our lives, Bill, will never be the same. Yeah. They'll never be the same. I mean, we're going to walk with the limp.
That's
the rest of
literally
lives.
What I was about to ask you next. Oh, people always say this, you know, you hear it all the time. When someone loses a child, they're just never the same.
No.
Which sounds, let's be honest, depressing. Yeah. Oh my goodness, like it's just your life is over, this and that. Right. But you've taken such a different angle to that. What is that? When you hear the phrase, you know, Ed, you'll never be the same. How do you see that?
Well, there's a positive side to that. Obviously, the wound is always going to be fresh to the touch.
Yeah.
But what God has done in our lives, in our marriage, in our church, in our worship, in our concern and empathy for others going through a crisis situation, I can't put a price tag on it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would trade all of that in to have Lebeth back. But those are some things, Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, my walk with God, my worship, my discipleship, sanctification, you know, to use the churchy word, has definitely accelerated because of this. And I would just say, again, just the empathy. Yeah. We've seen our church, we've seen people, Bill, hurting people come to our church like we've never seen before.
That first morning is definitely just imprinted in our lives, mm-hmm. in our minds, and we relive that. We had those same natural things that everyone else would say, why? And I have great empathy, too, for those who maybe have lost a child through a car accident, through cancer, through things that they had no control over. Sure. I mean, LeBeth struggled with addiction. But addiction is an illness, and we've learned a lot about that. But I would say that we asked, why God? And we still ask that sometimes.
Sure.
But in the midst of that, because of our relationship with Him and because we've seen His faithfulness throughout our lives, through our pain quotient, which is in the book on different places where we've experienced pain in our lives, we've seen His faithfulness, and we know that He can be trusted. So our whys moved into, what now, God?
Wow.
This is what's happened.
And that's the transition.
Our circumstances are not going to change.
That's brilliant.
But what do you want to do with this? Ed mentioned that he was writing those words. He laid him on the altar. We could not alter what had happened to LeBeth, but we could put her on the altar. Wow. And that very morning, we met with our children and said, guys, this is a messy story.
Yeah.
It's a sticky story because we're in ministry and all of our children are in ministry as well. And we're talking about addiction, about alcohol, just tough stuff. But we feel like we need to put this on the altar, be totally forthright, and see what God's going to do. And that's where and we didn't do that on our own. Yeah. We were surrounded by an army of prayer warriors across churches everywhere, but here at our church. Mm. And I would just encourage you, you may be hearing this and you're like, I didn't realize that, you know, God could carry me through something like this.
Yeah.
It's multifaceted, and surrounding yourselves with Christian influence and people who will walk with you in the biggest storm of your life.
Yeah.
It's so important. The first thing is to have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
Ed talks about an anchor and early fishing. You know, we're fisher people.
Yeah.
He's a fisherman.
I love fishing. And I'm sure everyone knows that fishing is a biblical sport.
Yeah, it's a biblical sport. That's right.
But the anchor, I fish a lot, and you have to know what you're doing with an anchor to be a great fisherman, especially in salt water, which I love. Mm-hmm. And someone told me, a captain told me one time, he said, if you anchor right, he said, the harder it blows, the deeper the anchor goes. Isn't that brilliant?
Wow.
Yeah.
And because Jesus was and is our anchor, even though those rogue winds hit and the boat was rocked, we had the anchor.
Well, I think about what kind of prayer time did you have after this?
Oh.
Fellowship of the people. I mean, we happened to come to the funeral, and there was a lot of pastors around the country. It was an honor to be here to support you. But probably the most touching thing to me, having known LeBeth, I wish she could have seen the love.
Yes.
I mean, just, oh my gosh, you're so loved, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember sitting, I was just a few down, in fact, Chris, I think is here, Chris Prater and his wife, and is when you guys walked out, you don't realize that everyone just to a man just lost it.
Yeah.
Because we were feeling your pain.
Yes.
You know, we're like, God, I hate this for them. You know, I mean, just we felt the pain for you.
Thank you.
And it's a beautiful thing because you're right. The fellowship is intense when you are open about that.
That's right.
You need that. Again, no one wanted this.
Mm-hmm. No.
But wow, what God has done through this and through your honesty. And isn't life messy for everyone?
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? And so I think about, you imagine the Old Testament altar when they would literally slaughter. Talk about messy.
Yes.
You know, but that's our lives.
Exactly. Yes.
And so I just think it's so powerful. I love what you said, Lisa, that when people are hurting and they're broken and it's messy, that's the power of the church.
Yes.
I didn't think today we talk about spiritual disciplines. I never thought that way.
But
what a powerful thing.
And I will tell you that for us, and I believe for all Christians, for those who are walking with the Lord, when something bad happens to you, people lean in to see how you're going to handle it. And our church had watched us live, raise our children here, and go through different seasons of storms, but nothing like this. And so I can imagine that they're looking and saying, okay, are they going to be able to live out what Ed has preached all these many years? Yeah. And again, it just goes back to God is faithful and trustworthy. And it has been painful. He did not remove our pain, but he guided us through our pain. And only he can do that.
So good.
Only he can do that.
Well, so I learned a lot just in this last conversation. I didn't connect, and I should have, the spiritual disciplines, like all the deposits with God.
Yes.
I think the person watching today who goes, oh, I don't have any pain, I'm good. No. This is where you don't realize it, but the spiritual discipline of coming to church, of being involved in the community, of getting in the Word.
Yes.
You are bulking your account up for the day, hopefully it doesn't come, that if you need it, you have it.
But Bill, it will come.
Yeah.
Because someone is, if you're either have been through pain, you've just come through it, you're in the middle of it right now, or it's ahead.
And it doesn't
of you.
Mean it's going to be exactly like ours.
Everyone's
going to go through it.
Your brain's on the just and the unjust.
When we wrote the book, there are stories of lots of different types of pain.
Yeah.
It's not just grief. And that's just a part of humanity because we live in a fallen and broken world.
Yeah.
And I love to look at the life of Paul. And when Paul shares the pain that he went through, in fact, he says he prayed, you know, for God to remove it, and God chose not to. And we know that God can do anything. He can move a mountain. He could remove pain. But he chose not to do that with Paul. And Paul had been shipwrecked. He had been rejected.
Beaten to the point of death.
The worst one, he was snake bit.
I don't want that.
But in it all, he says, I realize my weaknesses are like the kryptonite for God.
Wow.
Because he make strength out of it. His power shows up when we're at our weakest points. And that's why I believe Ed and I can say how much stronger our worship is, how much stronger our prayer is, how much stronger our need for community is, because we were at our weakest point.
Yeah.
And even now,
we're
at our weakest point. And worship is sweet because when I worship, I imagine, and sometimes on the front row, I sit on the front row at church, and whoever's the lead person on the front row will hand me a tissue because she's just watching because, okay, is Lisa going to cry today? Because as I worship, I picture the throne of God. And Lee Beth was not defined by that last worst decision.
So good.
She was defined by the best decision was when she gave her heart to Christ. So as I'm worshiping, she's in heaven worshiping the Lord.
Yep.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the most beautiful voice. Me, not so much on the front row, but it's the sweetest thing.
Yes.
That's beautiful. I love that. There, guys, thank you for this. You know, my prayer is for the person watching this also, that if you are in pain, how much have you been ministered today by Ed and Lisa? The Bible is very clear that God doesn't waste your pain.
That's right.
So there will be a day that you're sharing your story with someone and being a minister to them. And I look forward to that. God always does that. So Pastor Ed, you're such an evangelist, you know, and I know that you have spent your life making sure people know how to receive Christ.
Yes.
How he's our hope when the world breaks us and it breaks all of us. He is he's the end all. That's what we have to come to. And so, would you do me an honor and just lead our people, if they've never received Christ, how do they do that? How can they find Christ? How can they find that wholeness that they're longing for, that you've held on to all these years? How do they get that?
Well, what we're talking about is the ultimate news, because to understand the ultimate news, you have to first of all realize, wow, there's some bad news. You know, I'm not perfect. I have fallen short. And that's bad news. But it gets worse. So you have the bad news and the worst news. The worst news is we deserve eternal separation from God if we got what we deserve. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's eternal death. But here's the good news. God saw this distance and he made it up by sending Jesus to die on the cross for all of our sins. He took the pain, the guilt, everything on the cross. Then 3 days later, he rose again. The best news is you can make that decision to receive Christ. We have a free will. So it's basically the bad news. Okay, I'm a sinner. The worst news, I deserve the implications of that, which is separation from the Lord. The good news is God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to rise again. And the best news, the ultimate news, is you can receive Jesus Christ. You can receive that gift the Bible talks about. So, Bill, I'm just going to pray.
Please, and I'm
going to pray a prayer that I prayed years ago when I became a follower of Christ. And I just want you to repeat this prayer after me. And I'm going to ask the entire church, even though you might be a believer, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat the words so you can help those who've never heard the words before to say those words, okay? Let's bow our head. Dear God.
Dear God.
I admit to you.
I admit to you.
That I am a sinner.
That I am a sinner.
That I've fallen short of your standard.
That I've fallen short of your standard.
Of goodness.
Of goodness.
And right now, I turn from my sins.
And right now, I turn from my sins.
And ask you, Jesus Christ.
And ask you, Jesus Christ.
To come into my life.
To come into my life.
To forgive me.
To forgive me.
To cleanse me.
To cleanse me.
To fill me.
To fill me.
To change me.
To change me.
I give you everything I am.
I give you everything I am.
And everything I'll ever be.
And everything I'll ever be.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving me.
Thank you for rescuing me.
Thank you for rescuing me.
Thank you for coming into my heart.
Thank you for coming into my heart.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's just take a moment right now across all of our campuses, those watching online. I want to say thank you for being with us today. If you just made that decision to follow Christ, no one's looking around, would you just lift your hand high right now? We just want to acknowledge the fact that you have given your life to Jesus. Praise God. Many of you have said, you know what? I need what Ed and Lisa have that has sustained, that's been the anchor. So we want to know about that. Just lift your hand high if you would. If you're watching online with us, you can put in the text chat. Just text my hands raised or click hand raised right now. Father, I want to thank you so much for each person who gave their life to Christ. Lord, I want to thank you also, God, that today, if we're in the middle of pain, today we leave with hope, knowing that you will get us through. Father, thank you for Pastor Ed, Pastor Lisa. Thank you for the difference that they've made in so many lives and in our lives today. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's give a warm round of applause and thank you to Pastor Ed and Lisa. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
We love you, Bill.
Thank you.
Jessica.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.